Welcome to An Orderly Account with Pastor John Stews, where, from the book of Acts, we're learning how the Holy Spirit of God is filling the earth with the kingdom of Jesus. All are welcome to join us for worship at Church of the King, each Lord's Day at Kingdom Builder Books in Roseville. We celebrate family-integrated worship with the hearty singing of psalms and hymns, the proclamation of God's Word, and weekly communion. Go online to orderlyaccount.com to learn more about us. Now, here's Pastor John Stews.
In light of the current corona crisis, we are pausing the series on Acts to air a three-part series of sermons by Pastor Stews from the book of Habakkuk. May they help to bring repentance and healing to our nation.
So why the book of Habakkuk? I have often called Habakkuk America's prophet. And I do this because he brings a message that to me seems very relevant for our troubled times. I will also make the case, Lord willing, that this is a book of hope. You see, we can, as Christians, face very difficult circumstances and still know that the Lord God is our hope. Hope because Jesus has brought glory to the Father by coming to save His people from their sins. And hope because the Spirit is bringing glory to the Son by filling the earth with His kingdom. So how does honestly thinking about the sin of abortion or the general state of our nation today bring hope and not just despair? Well, that is what I trust we will learn from the prophet Habakkuk. The Bible is God's revelation of Himself and of the great plan of salvation that He has for His people and all of creation. But that revelation includes the bad news as well as the good news. As I reminded us a few weeks ago, the good news is really good news because the bad news is really bad news. We don't see the glory of man's redemption if we fail to see the depths of his depravity. And we are reminded of this right here in the midst of the glorious Christmas accounts that we all love to share and read and sing about. Now, this account is given to us by Matthew. And it follows the visit of the Magi who came bearing gifts for the newborn king. Beginning at verse 16, we read, "Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. And he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which had been determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted, because they are no more." Was there hope for the mothers in Bethlehem? The reality is, we could not. Without God and His revelation, as we will learn from the book of Habakkuk. The truth of God does not make all things nice, but the truth does give us hope. Matthew quoted the 31st chapter of Jeremiah, which clearly foretold of this tragic event. It wasn't a surprise to God. But the event was not intended to leave those parents nor us in despair. And that comfort comes from the Word of God. Not only in that chapter does the prophet tell those mothers to have hope, but he goes on to say that there is hope for the nation of Israel and all the world. The hope that was declared by the angels to the shepherds that we'll sing about in a moment. Listen to these words from Jeremiah 31 down at verse 31. "Behold, the days are coming, says Jehovah, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says Jehovah. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Jehovah. Now these are going to be familiar words, but I don't know how often we remember that they follow the comfort for those mothers in Bethlehem. Jehovah says, I will put my law in their minds, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know Jehovah, for they shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says Jehovah. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. I will remember no more. And reminding us about the importance of studying the book of Genesis, which I plan to do this year, God confirms all of this in verse 35. By saying, thus says Jehovah, who gives the sun for a light by day, the ordinances of the moon and stars for a light by night, who disturbs the sea and its waves roar. Jehovah of hosts is his name. Just as Matthew demonstrated in his gospel, we are to weep with those who weep and to not make light of their circumstances. But we must also remember that the only comfort that we can offer in such circumstances is the hope of the gospel. And this brings us to the prophet Habakkuk. The portion that we read this morning as our text is known as the prophet's complaint. The prophet is troubled by what he sees around him. And he cries out to God for action. O Jehovah, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Now before I get into the content and the timing of this complaint, there are two very important lessons for us to learn. The first one is the lesson that we should learn from the entire book of Habakkuk, as short as it is. The prophet is having a conversation with God, an honest conversation, as we shall see. This is something that is not uncommon in the Scriptures, something we should not be afraid of even today, as we serve not just as priests and prophets, but sons and daughters of the King. If you think about it, there's lots of examples. Remember the conversation that Abraham had with God before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham approached the Lord in fear and very respectfully, but he continued to press his case for mercy. And in the end, God was willing to be very, very merciful. Abraham just didn't know how much mercy he had to ask for. There were several places where Moses interceded for the people of God when the Lord had said, hey, I'm willing to destroy all of them and start over with you. And Moses prevailed, again, showing the mercy of God. We even see an honest conversation when the prophet Elijah is at his wit's end because of his fear of Jezebel. The prophet gives God his view of the situation, and the Lord reminds him that he has many who have not bowed the knee to Baal. In all of these situations, we see that there is hope in the end, as will be the case with Habakkuk. But I want us to see that we should not be afraid to have such honest conversations with the Lord, even today. This can be true whether we have personal struggles that we may be going through, or if we are assessing our national sins. In other words, it's a good thing, brothers and sisters, to wrestle with God. We can even be forceful in stating our concerns and making our case. But we must remember to be humble and respectful. And this is the second important lesson, and we are reminded of that lesson each year in the Christmas accounts if we have ears to hear. Last week we read together the two accounts of Gabriel's appearance. One to Zacharias with the news that Elizabeth would bear a son, and the second to Mary with the news that she would bear God's own son. Both Zacharias and Mary proceed to have a conversation with God's messenger, but the results were quite different. And this should pique our interest because when you read the account, the responses seem to be very similar. Zacharias said to Gabriel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And Mary said to the same angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" Both are certainly raising important questions when you think about what they've been told. However, Zacharias is struck dumb, and Mary is given the answer that she sought and told she'd be blessed among women. What was the difference in their responses is a question that I think we should ask. And to me, it was obviously the attitude with which the question was asked. So I'm going to try to demonstrate this by showing how a tone of voice can make things very different. Zacharias probably said something like this, "How shall I know this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." If he put a modern vernacular on the end, he would have said, "What are you talking about?" On the other hand, I could see young Mary saying, "How can this be? For I do not know a man." So yes, we can have an honest conversation with God and His messengers, but we must be humble and respectful as we do so. And I would certainly point out as an aside that this is also a great lesson for any of our married couples and our children that are with us this morning to remember that how we say something can be much more important than the words that we choose to say. I don't know if I'm going to be able to pull this off, but I'm going to try to use the same tone of voice test and give you two different readings of the prophet's complaint. First, imagine it was Zacharias making this complaint. I think it would sound something like this. "Oh, Jehovah, how long shall I cry and you won't hear me? Even crying to you violence, you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me the trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore the law is powerless and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore perverse judgment proceeds." Now that's an angry and disrespectful complaint, if I did it right. Let's try it again with the attitude of Mary. "Oh, Jehovah, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Even cry to you violence and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me, and there is strife and contention arises. Therefore the law is powerless and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore perverse judgment proceeds." As we go on in the book of Habakkuk, we will see that God does not strike the prophet with silence or even ignore his cries. God goes on to carry on a lengthy discussion and brings the prophet to a point of hope, even in the midst of some very uncomfortable circumstances. So Habakkuk is obviously being very honest. I would say he was even being very emotional. But he is coming to God with the proper humility and respect, even in the midst of that complaint. So what is his complaint? And why do I refer to him as America's prophet? Habakkuk cries out to God somewhere near the end of the reign of King Manasseh. He says, O Jehovah, how long shall I cry and you will not hear, even cry out to you violence and you will not save? By this time, the northern kingdom has been carried away into captivity, but Judah continues to be a thriving nation. Their kings have won battles, and Solomon's temple still stands in all of its glory. The economy was going along just fine, probably better than America, and there was no one starving in the land. And yet, there is great sin in the land, which the prophet could see. And thus he honestly wondered how long God could look the other way. The prophet was not wrong in his assessment. And we also know that God was not ignoring what was going on. He was simply dealing with things in his time. In fact, we read these chilling words when the kingdom of Judah is finally sent off to the Babylonian captivity many years later. After King Manasseh himself seeks repentance, after his son brings the land to great revival, they fall into sin again and they're finally sent to captivity. And this is what it says in 2 Kings 23:26. Nevertheless, Jehovah did not turn from the fierceness of his great wrath with which his anger was aroused against Judah because of all the provocations with which Manasseh had provoked him. The great sin of Manasseh was idolatry. Idolatry that grew so bold that it led to the slaughter of their children on the red-hot hands of Moloch's statue. Judah, at that time, was looking to other gods for their material comfort and security. And they were willing to sacrifice even the children that God had blessed them with to achieve the good life. So can I make the case for Habakkuk as America's prophet? I don't think it's difficult when you consider the history of Western civilization and the current events in our nation. The Christendom of Europe has clearly been sent off into the captivity of apostasy and humanism. Now, while many Americans still believe that we are on the right road, we too have embraced the idols of evolution and man's reason, and have even followed in the steps of King Manasseh with the slaughter of almost 60 million children in the name of choice and convenience. This alone causes many of us to cry with the prophet, O Jehovah, how long shall I cry, and you will not hear? Even cry out to you, violence, and you will not save. If our cry comes with the same humility and respect that we will see in the prophet Habakkuk, then it is a good thing. We should be troubled, and troubled greatly, by many of the sins that surround us today. We should continue with the prophet's cry. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me, and there is strife and contention arises. Therefore the law is powerless and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore perverse judgment proceeds. I've started with the obvious sin of abortion, but there are many others. I don't think it would be hard to make the case that we see much plundering and violence in our state and national governments today. The state and national tax burden on a successful businessman here in California this year will reach almost 57%. I would tell you that this makes me long for the burdensome days of medieval Europe when the feudal lords demanded an entire 25% of everything those poor serfs produced. It's also not very hard to make the case that we see a lot of strife and contention. Certainly true with our national political dialogues, but sadly, it's also true in most homes and our communities. Need I give you examples of how the wicked surround the righteous today? You could Google Christians praying in the Castro district if you want to see one of the most chilling examples. But we must also remember that it comes in much more subtle ways. It is not surprising that the generations of children that have been raised on Disney movies have become disobedient and have little respect for fathers. It's unbelievable. And of course, we all know that there are many examples of injustices in our society today. When an abortionist who makes his living killing children can also violate serious health codes and have the authorities look the other way, while a single mom who's struggling to make ends meet can face financial ruin in her life because of the fines and penalties assessed for her running a red light or even not having the proper insurance and registration papers. Now, lest you think I'm exaggerating, just go spend a few hours in the typical traffic court today. So we live in a time and a nation where I think it is quite appropriate for us to lift up a complaint before God as the prophet Habakkuk did. How long, Lord? How long? However, we must remember to do it humbly and respectfully. And as we will learn in the coming weeks, we must be ready to accept and even rejoice in the answer that God chooses to give us, remembering that our hope is in the Lord. So we should take away two important lessons from today. First and foremost, it is okay, even healthy, to have honest conversations with our God and Savior. I've given several Old Testament examples, but we can see the same in the New Testament, with even Jesus pleading with His Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, or the Apostle Paul asking God to remove his thorn in the flesh three times. We must remember that we now serve God in the fullness of the new covenant that was promised by the prophet Jeremiah. And He has given us the Holy Spirit as our guide and our comfort, with the Apostle Paul reminding us that the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings that which cannot be uttered. Whether you have financial or relational problems, or you're just overwhelmed by the evil of our day, take your concerns to the Lord. Be bold. Be honest. And if you come with the right attitude, these are prayers that God will answer. And finally, we should have learned the importance of assessing things from God's perspective, as the prophet Habakkuk did in his time. The sin that surrounds us in our nation should trouble us. And if it does not, then we are in trouble. As John Calvin commented on this portion of Scripture, all who really serve and love God ought, according to the prophet's example, to burn with holy indignation whenever they see wickedness reigning, reigning without restraint among men and especially in the church of God. Brothers and sisters, the world will gladly teach you to laugh at sin and to ignore the consequences of disobedience. But to do so, you must leave Lady Wisdom at the door. And that is a very dangerous place to be. The prophet Habakkuk probably could have gone along to get along and been a very important person in the king's court or in the temple. But he chose to follow God's path. We will often face such choices in our personal lives. And the church in America certainly faces this choice on a national level. May God grant us the grace and the strength to make the right choices and to see the wisdom in the course that the King of Kings will set us upon. And that brings us to our lesson for next week.
Thank you for listening to An Orderly Account from Church of the King in Roseville. Pastor John Stews will continue to encourage you in this series next week at the same time. Church of the King welcomes any interested individuals, couples, or families to join us Sunday mornings at 11 for worship at Kingdom Builder Books in Roseville. We're a pro-life, pro-family church, preaching the Word and celebrating communion each week. To learn more about us, visit us at orderlyaccount.com or call 916-451-5660.